Hey everybody, and welcome back to the Percy Jackson Poseidon podcast. This is going to be my review for episode 5 of the show. I'll just say this is the best of the episodes so far, at least in my opinion, and I'll explain why, but I think it fixes a lot of the problems I've had with the previous episodes. But before we get into it, be sure to hit the thumbs up button, subscribe to the channel, and share on social media to try and help build the channel. Alright, so thanks, and let's get into my review for episode 5 of Percy Jackson and the Olympians. So this episode is titled The God Buys Us Cheeseburgers, which is the title of chapter 15 in the book, although they don't actually eat the cheeseburgers in this episode on camera, but that's okay. So it's still kind of a fun title, and I like the reference that they have, the visual reference in the episode. But the episode opens up basically in the aftermath of the St. Louis Arch incident from last episode, and Annabeth sees the three fates knitting, and one of them cuts the thread, so she's all worried about that, which indicates that somebody's going to die soon. But I believe it happens a little differently in the book. I think Percy's the one that sees the fates a little earlier on. It's okay if Annabeth is the one to kind of be more concerned about that. The trio are wanted by the police for the train incident and the archway incident, so they can't travel in any way that needs to buy them tickets, so then they have to start walking. Oh, and then I like when Annabeth and Grover, they go to find Percy coming out of the water, and I like that Annabeth doesn't say anything. She just like quietly walks up and gives Percy a hug. I think that's really cute, and it's kind of like that awkward teenage moments that they have in the book, which it's what I've wanted from the show. I really like that. They're fun little parts in the book that I think we can all relate to. These, like, you know, teenagers being kind of awkward. So I like that. I wish we had more of those in the first episode, but I really like that. And then of course Percy later on thinks like she's being weird about it. But I do like their relationship here. So as the trio are walking on the road, we get introduced to Ares, the god of war. He shows up on a motorcycle. And so I like this introduction to Ares. I do wish, however, that he had the flames in his eyes. Like when he shows up, like he should have like had taken like off his sunglasses to reveal like the flames. And then like they quickly like fade away. Just because it's a cool character aesthetic from the books, I kind of wish we would have just... And this is a way to like incorporate a little bit more of that, like, we're in a magical, fantastical world. Again, that's my main complaint about the show so far, is we're not doing enough with the mythical fantasy world of this all. So that's a little disappointment, but I still like the introduction to Ares. I still think he does good. And, you know, then Ares, you know, meets them at the diner with cheeseburgers. And he shows them footage of Percy's stepdad, Gabe, who's, like, been blaming Percy on the news for, like, Sally's disappearance. And, of course, he's concerned about the car. And all that's something from the books. And so hopefully they'll, like, wrap that story plot up at the end of the show, like they do in the books. But I just like that we're incorporating that in as well. And then Ares makes a bargain with them. He wants Percy and Annabeth to retrieve his shield in exchange for a ride to Los Angeles, while Grover stays behind. And I'm not sure why Grover insisted on walking them to the door when he, like, doesn't actually say goodbye or offer any advice or anything to them. Like, so it just kind of felt a bit weird why he was like, let me walk them to the door, and then, like, he doesn't, like, do anything. I thought that was a little weird. So then Percy and Annabeth are off to the abandoned water park. And I like that Annabeth, like, notices all the magical traps and machinery and everything, and, like, she can figure things out. That's, like, a cool character aspect from the book that I like that they're keeping that here. So they hop on the Tunnel of Love water ride. And there's, a little bit of, like, that teenage awkwardness, right? Like, it's the Tunnel of Love. But that's okay. But I really like the music and the light show animation on the walls that shows Hephaestus's story. I thought that was fun. And the water ride adds that, like, adventure element that I've, you know, been waiting for. And just the magic of the light show was so cool. And again, this episode fixes a lot of the problems I've had with the show. It has the fun, adventurous, magical moments, while also giving us the character moments that I want, the depths and the development. So, you know, I think that is all really good here. And, you know, and Ares, I think, is fun and interesting to watch. He's kind of the villain for the episode, even though he's not, like, he's more of an antagonist, right? He's not, like, actually trying to stop them, but he's sending them on a side quest, right? It's all from the books, and so I do like that we're keeping that little side quest part in as well. And so it's just a fun episode. And also Grover has something to do finally, which is what I've been hoping for from the show. So speaking of Grover, I love him talking to Ares. He's like flattering Ares, like buttering him up by saying he's like a fan of his wars that no one talks about. And he's like, he's totally manipulating the conversation to get information from Ares. And I think it's brilliant. It shows Grover is more intelligent than we always sometimes give him credit for. And it shows, you know, his capabilities and what he's confident in doing, and it works. And so I really like, you know, and it's a change from the books. That little scene isn't in the books, I don't think, but it makes Grover seem clever, and it gives him something to do rather than just kind of standing around while Annabeth and Percy figure everything out. It gives Grover something to do. So I really like all of that. And then at the end of the episode, Grover realizes who took the Master Bolt, which is something we don't find out until later in the books. And I'm not sure if they're going to reveal it in the beginning of the next episode, but we'll see, because it is revealed later in the books. But I do like that, you know, being clever, we're being on top of it, because earlier in the episode, Percy mentions, like, hey, we need to find out who actually did steal the Master Bolt, because we know it's not us, and what are we going to do when we show up at Hades without it? So I do like that we're building up to the plot, and we're adding to the story and the mystery of the Master Bolt. So then Percy and Annabeth find the shield, and we get a cool moment where Percy uses his water powers to save Annabeth. And I really want to see more of Percy's powers. Like, they always do, like, these little cutaways. So I wish we could, like see him. I hope we get to see more of his powers. I'm sure we will in, like, the finale. They're probably saving their budget for the finale, because they're definitely, you know, a little skimpy on the special effects. If they get a season 2, maybe they'll get a budget raise and we can get more. I mean, maybe that's why we're not getting all these cool magical moments that I'm hoping for. Maybe they just don't have it in the budget. But I do like seeing Percy use his water powers. Annabeth's like, whoa. And then also Annabeth calls Percy Seaweed Brain, which is her classic line from the books. And I think it's the first time in the show that she said it. So I do like that. And then they find the shield, and it requires a sacrifice. Somebody has to sit in this golden chair. So Percy decides to be the one to sit in the chair, so that Annabeth could get the shield and continue on the journey. Because he believes Annabeth should be the one to continue the quest. Like, he tells her, like, you know, what he told Chiron of why he chose Annabeth. And, you know, you kind of see that she kind of is like, I get it, but also, like, why are you putting that type of pressure on me? But it's a nice moment. And Annabeth gets the shield, but she refuses to leave Percy behind. So she tries to figure out how to work the machinery. When she's greeted by Hephaestus, which is not in the books. He's not in the first book. Although I do like including more of the gods early on in the story. Like, next episode we're going to get Hermes. So I do like that, because it's just building up that mythology a little bit better. And I like that Annabeth kind of stands up to him like she did to Ares. Like, she's not afraid. And Hephaestus says that, you know, the gods are messed up. You know, this is what we do. We leave people behind. We do all these terrible things. And Annabeth says that Percy isn't that way, that he's better than that. He's better than the gods, and that she wants to be better. Because earlier on, Percy says, you know, maybe his mom didn't prepare him, you know, enough. Because she told him all these stories, but, you know, maybe he wasn't prepared. And Annabeth counters and said that she did prepare him. She prepared him to be better than the Olympians, right? So I like that, you know, the thing that makes Percy special, you know, is not that he's the son of Poseidon, but it's that, you know, he grew up with a normal, loving mom that allows him to have more compassion, more care and love than the gods, and allows him to be better. So, you know, and that's something that Annabeth is learning from Percy. Like, you see it, like, she says, like, I want to be better. You know, she doesn't want to be that way no more. And so I like that character development and progression with Annabeth. And it's a nice moment with her. And then, you know, Hephaestus can kind of relate. Like, he doesn't agree with it either, because he's Hephaestus. He gets treated, you know, like crap by the gods. And so he decides to let Percy go, and he tells Annabeth, you know, he'll put in a good word with her mom for her. And so I do like that whole scene. And again, we're adding these, like, small little philosophical moments to these characters where they're changing their perspectives. They're changing their outlooks on the gods and everything. And it's that character development that I really like. And again, I think this episode did a great job continuing all that character development while adding the fun, the adventure, and giving Grover something to do, which are the things that I complained about the last episode. Previous episodes, and this episode's pacing, I think, went really well as also. So then they return the shield, and Ares provides the trio with a ride on like a semi-truck filled with animals in cages that's going to the Lotus Casino in Las Vegas. And Ares mentions they should meet up with Hermes, and he'll give them a ride to Los Angeles. So that should be fun. Hermes isn't in the first book, so we'll see how things shake out differently there. I'm looking forward to it. It's played by Lin-Manuel Miranda, so, you know, hopefully the Lotus Hotel will be, you know, a lot of fun. And so, yeah, I really enjoyed this episode. Like I said, I think it fixed a lot of the problems. I think it's the best episode of the five so far. It had the fun. It had the adventure. Had the magic, the cool magic. It had the, you know, the trio each had something to do and were given stuff. I liked meeting Ares. I thought he was really fun. And I liked meeting Hephaestus. And so, you know, this is kind of what I wanted the show to be from jump, right? Like, I was hoping we'd get all of these elements from the start. And so hopefully we'll have some fun with the casino and we'll continue to, you know, do good. And so, yeah, I really enjoyed this episode. So that's my review for episode 5. I really liked it. No complaints here. I think maybe I have been a little bit harsh on the show so far because I know a lot of people are really enjoying it. And maybe some of my critiques are a little bit harsh, but that's just because I really want this to have that fun wonder element that like Harry Potter has, like where we're enraptured with the world, and we should have more of that magical wonderment type stuff. And this episode brought a little bit of that, and I hope that we can get some more of it. And like I said, maybe if we get season 2, they can up the budget, we can get more of those CGI effects to bring sort of that magical wonderment and mythical world to life a better. So yeah, those are my thoughts on episode 5. Let me know what you guys think in the comments below. If you have read the books, let me know what you think. And if you haven't read the books, let me know what you think. I'm curious to see if there's a difference between people who've read the books and people who haven't. So, you know, am I being too hard on the show? Let me know. I don't know. Maybe I am. Who knows? But thank you all for listening to the Percy Jackson Upside and podcast. Stay tuned to the channel for more Percy Jackson content. I'll be reviewing the movies, the 2 movies, as well as the 6th book. Those are coming up. And so thank you all. And until next time, later, seaweed brain. Bye.